and how it was that Jesus was crucified. We go to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. And then as you have your Bible there, you might just put your finger in Psalm 56. Psalm 56. And if just for a moment or two, look at verse 8, where we discover the words, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into a bottle. Are they not in thy book?" The question is asked, and here in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, we discover how it is that Jesus speaks about his mother. Let me just share with you, what causes you to cry? I'm talking to men as well as women. I'm talking to adults as well as children. What causes you to cry? I guess we all suffer from an emotional thing sometime or another. A special hymn, a special tune, a certain type of song will catch in our throat and we cry. Men are very capable of biting lips and just choking down the cry, but it's there. I remember on an occasion or two when a child has phoned home, and just listening to the voice of the child was enough to cry. What causes you to cry? The psalmist says, "My tears are caught in a bottle," and for some reason we think it's not right to cry, or we don't cry, and yet the Lord Jesus indicates that there needs to be a lot of crying done, and if a little more crying were done, a lot less hypocrisy and sin would be performed. It's a curious thing how the Lord Jesus, when he was crucified with his mother watching. In verse 25 of John 19, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, what did he see? There's no question, as far as I can understand, there's no question that that woman's face was stained with tears. There were sobs coming from her, or had been coming for so long that by now they were somewhat stifled and somewhat dried up. But there were tears, and those tears are recorded in the book. Tears in a bottle. And there are times when I hear people sing about Calvary, and I hear people speak about the crucifixion of Jesus, and I see not a tear and not a shred of evidence that is outward, even though I may possibly brand it as emotionalism, but not a shred of evidence that it is of meaningfulness. This last Easter, we decorated the front of the church. And in the baptistry, for those of you visiting, the baptistry was empty. I was standing at the back of the church when two people walked in, and one said, "Oh my word." And the other stood absolutely silent. And they just stood at that door, and they were looking back towards the front of the church here. And then one said something like this, "That's terrible. I want to cry." Those of us that were involved in putting that thing together, we had worked hard and we had drawn all sorts of things, hoping that somehow the effect would be exactly that, that people would see. When we'd just finished, one person said this to me, "There's nothing there." And I just waited until that sank into the speaker, and eventually it sank into the speaker's mind, and the person said, "But that's right, isn't it? It is an empty tomb." We look at Calvary and we talk about being saved by the cross of Jesus, and we've become so hardened to these phrases, and we've become so calloused in our attitude of accepting the things of God and the things of the Bible as something almost secondhand, and tears are not the average or the normal expression. I went to a funeral a friend of mine was conducting, and we preachers have great difficulty at funerals. Very often we are moved with a great deal of what the Bible calls compassion. And there is a great moving within us. The Apostle Paul says it is the bowels of compassion working. And sometimes it's very difficult to keep a straight face, a stiff upper lip. It's very difficult not to weep with those that weep. But someone during that service must be stronger than the rest. And we are somewhat detached. And there is a certain area of grace that God gives to a pastor, a minister, and he can cope with that situation temporarily. But sometimes it is so difficult just to cope with those grieving people and not join them. Come to Calvary, and I invite you very carefully and very lovingly this evening. Will you, as we take of the bread and take of the cup, will you please visualize Calvary? Will you please just focus in? Will you draw from the very depths of the experience of all that Calvary meant? And will you see the picture? We have a dear friend with us today, Roosevelt Augustine from Haiti. He is seeing people in the churches there. He told us this morning, these very poor people, but he is seeing people who see Calvary for what it is, who weep because of sin when they consider their own state and the state of Calvary, the need of Calvary, the need of Golgotha's brow. It reduces people to a tearfulness. God records that. It's written in his book. It's in the bottle. Of course, there are those that will shed phony tears. Maybe you're sitting here and I can't judge you. Nor would I dare. I would just say to you in the most loving manner, if you are used to shedding tears carelessly, then re-evaluate your tearfulness now. Look at these words in verse 26. Jesus, therefore. Wherefore the therefore? Well, he has already assessed that his mother was there. His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene, women that he loved dearly. Now understand what I just said, not as some silly nonsense love thing that we'll talk about in soap operas, but he loved these women as he loved these men. He loved them very dearly. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple John, he was talking of himself here, the disciple whom Jesus loved, standing by, that's John. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Not saying, "Woman, look at me on this cross, but this young man beside you has some years yet to spend. This young man, he'll look after you. He's my disciple. He's filled with love and tenderness. He'll look after you." And can you imagine the embrace, the squeeze of the hand, the arm of that young man as he held that older lady? And can you imagine the emotion just for a moment that wells up right inside her? And then he said to the disciple, "Behold thy mother. She'll look after you. She'll be a mama to you." When you're depressed and desperate, when you've come to the end of your rope, when people are saying all manner of evil against you and rejecting you, when you have been castigated for my sake, you may go to this mama and she will comfort you, she will love you. And when your tears are expressed, she'll understand. Behold, I see in these three verses such emotion and such power And I see in the one verse, as we discover from Psalm 56, how it is that we need to give credence to tears. When did you last weep over sin? I was at a graduation service. I was speaking at the baccalaureate thing. And the young men and women, as they came off the platform or whatever it was they were doing, they were weeping. One girl expressed herself this way, "Oh, I shall miss this school." There was a kid standing behind her, a boy, who had a grin from ear to ear. And he just mumbled without moving his lips, "I won't." Two emotions entirely different. The boy was my wife's son. Pleased to be done. Two entirely different emotions. And the girl berated him. "Why don't you cry?" He said, "I'm too happy to cry." There's a moment for you parents. That son, that daughter, they've gone to this school, that school, the other school, and they walk up onto the platform with that funny mortarboard upon their head and that gown draping around their ankles. And you're so proud you could burst buttons. It's not a time for wives to look at husbands. It's a time to look straight ahead. It's a time to collect tears on upper lips. It's a time to dab with handkerchief in delicate manner. But don't look at husbands. Hands in pockets, jangling sometimes keys and loose change, looking as if something's happened surely, but he's so proud and so pleased. And the son or the daughter's name is called out. And there are tears without crawling down the cheek or the face. There are tears. Tears of pride, tears of joy, tears of gratitude. "God, thank you. I've lived to this day. I've seen this child established." Tears recorded, put in a bottle. But when did we last come before God, and when did we last say, "Lord, my ways are not thy ways, and my thoughts have never been thy thoughts"? When did we last come before God in our private prayer life? When did we last come before the Lord and quietly lay our life out in front of him and see our life as an open book and see our day as a page that has been written? And when did we last see the misery of our complaining? When did we last see the wretchedness of our intolerable attitudes? When did we last see ourselves as God sees us and weep? We invariably say, "God, I've had a bad day today, very depressed today. Let it be better tomorrow. I'll be a better fellow." And we rationalize away the need to be responsible for our own misery. It wasn't a nice thing. I was complaining at one time to a person that I knew that I was jolly miserable. And he said, "Well, whatever you do, don't blame anybody else but yourself for your own misery." I didn't appreciate the expression. I didn't like what he said. But actually, it was an accurate expression. And it made me realize if I was miserable, it was me that made me miserable. Where are the tears of repentance? Now, we talk about repentance and we understand it theologically. We can go through all the little pieces of the Bible. We can tell you all the verses. We can know this, that, and the other. But where is the tenderization of the heart, where the heart will weep because it is deceitful, even at its best point, and abominably wicked? When did you last weep over that? Oh, come. If you'll just look at Calvary once more, and if you'll just look at it very intensely, and if you'll let the lens of your life focus in so that it's brought into sharp relief, if you'll just see Calvary as it really is, my dear friend, at that moment, surely, surely you have to say,
woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips and an impure heart. Surely at that moment you have to weep because you are who you are and you are what you are because of Jesus. Surely you have to cry with the apostle of old, in me dwelleth no good thing. Let me be very practical. Do you know the most difficult people to minister to in a church? It usually starts with the deacon board and the ushers. And nowadays, with the people that work the sound room and the janitorial services. You know why? When they come to church, they're on duty. They're not there to weep. They're there to check up. They're there to make things work. They're there to make things happen. And they're there to oversee all that goes on. And that is the area where little weeping is done. The mother of Jesus looked up at that cross with the other women standing with her, and I believe they wept. And I believe that young men and women today need to come and look at that cross and weep. Now, why would you ever weep? Well, the hymn writer puts it this way: in my place condemned he stood and sealed my pardon with his blood. That's why I need to weep. I speak to you younger men and women especially, because you've kind of grown up here and you've heard this sort of thing dozens and dozens, so many dozens of times. It must be old hack in a lot of way, and you've got a sort of thick skin. Isn't really meaningful. But when you realize that it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of crucifixion, instead Jesus is there. When you understand, older ladies and gentlemen, that it's really us, it's really me, O Lord, standing in the need of punishment for sin, instead Jesus is there. And you who would rationalize and excuse sin, it's me. It is me, O Lord. When you look at Golgotha's brow one more time, there needs to be some tearfulness. I know. We're not supposed to do that sort of thing. Aren't we really? After church this morning, David and Sherry Cooper came to our house. They had lunch with us with their baby. And they got in that terrible pickup that they have that someone should shoot. And I wouldn't go out of town in it. They're going to Alaska in it. Fortunately, he's got some new shock absorbers, courtesy of some kind friends, which you need to be thanked. And they took off. What do you mean you don't cry? This summer, hasn't it been a blessing? You young men and women, he's been a fine fellow. I know he wore his hair long and he looked like an English sheepdog gone wrong. And I know he got up here and he mumbled and stuck his hands in his pockets. And I know his suit didn't fit very well, but it's the only one he had. I can't say that I was absolutely thrilled. In all the things he wore, his overalls were funny looking things. Especially when he came to church in them. But I was real sad to see him go. And that goes for a lot of our other young men and women. I know some of you parents party with kids that have gone off to college, and you had a little choking thing in here, some of you. Some of you wouldn't. Sons and daughters phone back. This is a rotten school. What do you mean, Christian? And there's a something in here. Down here. Hey, you know about crying. Don't kid me. Think of the boatman's coming back from England. You had to say goodbye to your mama. That's tough. You had to cry, didn't she? Yeah, you had to look after her. I phoned my mum the other day and I put the phone down. I thought, oh, nobody's sitting here. That's good. I'm not going to tell you what happened. It's tough. We know how to cry. But in here, sitting in these pews, in here, speaking with our Lord, around this table, sharing this cup, sharing this bread, singing these hymns, reading these scriptures. No. We've learned to develop a hard heart. If your bottle of tears were to be shaken up, how much would be there? Tears that have been shed because of Jesus. Tears that have been shed because of your Lord. Tears. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mama and his mama's sister, Mary, the wife of Peter, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mama and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mama, Mama, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mama. How many tears are in your bottle? Because you love Jesus. Tonight, pray with me. Our gracious Father, we wouldn't pretend and we do not sham. We would not be pseudo in these things nor in thinking these things. But we would be solemn. We come into thy presence now, and as we do so, we desire with great desire to be quietly in thy presence. Our gracious Father, as we break this bread and we take this cup of the Lord and remember his death until he come, we beseech thee. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that thou would bring our hearts to the place where we may see ourselves as we really are, not as we so eloquently pretend. And when we see our sinfulness and we see Calvary for all it is, Lord, record our tearfulness. We confess to thee this night the sorrowing and the suffering of other people reach us quicker than the suffering of Calvary. We confess to thee this night the injustice done to children makes us weep, sometimes with anger and sometimes with fear and sometimes with sheer sadness upon our hearts, far, far quicker than we see the injustice of our own sin. Lord, we have become such social Christians without using the expression. We hardly remember what Calvary meant to thee, the Holy One, to take away our sin. And so at this moment we pray, Lord, bless us with thy presence now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.